Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We've been in this series of talks called Stories. And Jesus often used stories, or what the Bible calls parables, when he was teaching people. When he wanted people to get a lesson, an important lesson, he would use parables. And for those of you that have been with us for several weeks now, I hope you can remember this. A parable is simple. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so this is how Jesus would teach over and over and over when he was trying to help people just get an important moral truth or get an important lesson. And so typically in a parable, what happens is you can find some character in the story that you relate to, that jumps out to you in your life, and it's just a very relatable thing. And here in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus is, once again, he's teaching his disciples, and he's trying to get them to understand what is going on here. He's trying to pass down wisdom to these disciples. And here's what I want you to remember as we go through this story today. Jesus is teaching them ways in which they should strive to be living, right? So it's like, all right, here's us, and then Jesus is saying, here's how I want you to live. Here's kind of the goal, the standard, if you will. If you're going to live your life for Christ, then here's how it should look, okay? And so I don't want us to look at these stories as, I don't live up to that, so I'm a failure. This is what I'm striving for, right? This is what I'm trying to get to. And so today in Matthew chapter 18, he's going to give us this story. So let me encourage you to do something. I was thinking about it this week. We got to go up to Canada and spend some time with Shira's family, and it was literally freezing half the time we were there. So glad to get back. They canceled soccer practice because it was 80 outside, y'all. I'm not joking. I'm not lying. They canceled soccer practice because it was 80. I was like, you guys are, anyways. but I was thinking about it this week. I was up there, and it was definitely cold, and I got to go to church on Sunday. And normally I don't get to just go to church, right? So I was sitting there, and I was taking some notes, and I thought, man, what is so good about this is, it's just I'm able to sit here and I'm able to listen, and I'm not worried about, you know, is it my turn to go up, or did we make all the announcements, or are the lights on, you know? And I was just able to just sit and soak in what God wanted to talk to me about, and it just hit me for a second. I was like, man, I'm so thankful that I have this opportunity, but also I was able to take some notes, and then when I was studying for this sermon, I kind of used some of those notes, and I was looking through it and praying through it and some of those things that God was speaking in my heart. And it just reminded me, and I want to remind you, like, when you come to church, whether it's digital or not, it doesn't matter. Like, man, your Bible is such an important thing for you to have. And I want to encourage you, like, there's something special that takes place when you take some notes. Well, again, whether it's on your phone or whether you still like writing notes, it doesn't matter. I think it elevates our walk with God when we say, you know what, I'm going to take this serious enough that I'm going to write some of these things down. I'm going to think about it this week. I'm going to pray about it this week. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to use it, not just for the 25 minutes for today. And so let me just encourage you to do that each and every week, each and every time you hear God's word. So Jesus speaking to his disciples, he's teaching them what life should look like, how they should live their lives, Matthew chapter 18. So let me invite you to stand to your feet as we honor the reading of God's word together. We're going to read through this story today, beginning in verse number 21. Now, before I jump into this, I'm going to be real honest with you today. For some of you, this is going to be a tough one. For some of us in the room, this is going to be a tough one to think about, because you've got some situations that you're going to really be able to relate to in this story. And so I want to encourage you today to listen to what God has for you. Begin reading in verse 21. The Bible says this: Then Peter approached him and asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. So Jesus is going into the story now. When he began to settle his accounts, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, and his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay everything." Verse 27, then the master of the servant had compassion. He released him and forgave him the loan. That servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him, he started choking him, and he said, "Pay what you owe me." At this, his fellow servant fell down and began begging him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he wasn't willing. Instead, he went and he threw him into prison until he could pay back what he was owed. When the other servants saw what had taken place, they were deeply distressed and went and reported it to their master, everything that had happened. Verse 32, then, after he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart. Would you pray with me? Father, I love you. I thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. Remind us today that this is the standard. This is what you're striving to get us, what we need to be striving to live towards. Lord, speak directly into our situation. You know our heart on this matter. And God, we ask you to use these next few moments in our lives to change us, to challenge us, to grow us, into becoming more and more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. There's so much to unpack here. There's a lot going on. And I want to just continue to remind you, remember what Jesus is trying to do, okay? He's trying to show us this is what kingdom culture looks like. If you're going to truly be a person of Christ, if you're going to be someone who is striving to live for God, this is what it should look like. And so right off the bat, I don't want you to look at your situation and go, "Well, my situation is just different. It doesn't apply to me." That's not what this is all about, right? The question is not, is my situation is different? The question should always be, how do I become more like Christ? Whatever my situation is, whatever is going on in my life, how do I become more like Jesus? How do I bring kingdom culture into my house, into my relationships, into my life? If I want to be a part of that kind of community, then it starts with me, right? And so what does that look like? So let's attempt to break this down this morning. Verse 21, then Peter approached him. Again, Jesus is talking to his disciples. Peter's got a big mouth. He's always putting his foot in his mouth. He's always doing stuff. And he comes and he asks this question: "Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as 7 times? And so at first glance, it seems like this is a great question by Peter, right? Man, you're being sensitive, but I want you to know something. There's a little bit of selfishness here in Peter's question, right? Because what Peter is doing is, metaphorically, Peter is pulling out a scorecard, is what he's doing. He's saying, I need to keep a scorecard, right, God? And it's at 7 times I can keep forgiving. Now, let me teach you something a little bit here. This is really, really cool. So during this time, the Jewish rabbis, those religious leaders, they taught that 3 times of forgiveness was the accepted limit. Like, if you forgave 3 times, man, you were a top-level believer. You had it going on. So Peter here, he's kind of puffing out his chest, and he's going, he knew that the rabbis taught that you forgive 3 times, and so he tried to go to Jesus. He said, "Well, you forgive 7 times, right?" And so he's kind of like going, "Yeah, you know, I'm not just going to forgive 3 times. I'm going to forgive 7 times, Lord." And Peter's probably thinking, "Man, Jesus is going to love me. He's going to think, man, I'm the next level, right? Man, Peter, you're so extremely loving and forgiving." Now, I do think it was a good question, but I think Peter has some ulterior motives here. But I want to give him a little bit of credit here, because notice where he took his question. Where did Peter take his question here? He wanted to know this, and he took his question to Jesus. And that's a really big deal today. And I just want to remind you, when in doubt, go to Jesus first. When in doubt, when you have a question, when you don't know the real answer, don't go to your feelings first. Don't go to your friends first. Don't go to your family first. Don't go to social media first. Go to Jesus first. And that's exactly what Peter did. And so Peter, he asked this question, and he's kind of patting himself on the back, you know, like everybody says three, but I'm going to say seven, and Jesus is going to think I'm really holy, right? But then look what Jesus answers him. So I tell you, not as many as seven, Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. So Jesus just flips everything Peter thought he had going on. Peter was puffing his chest out. He thought, man, I'm going to get this one right. And Jesus says, no. You're supposed to forgive 490 times. Now, what Jesus is saying here, Jesus is not telling Peter to get your scorecard out and on number 491, you can write them off. It's over, right? 491, they're out of your life. You don't have to worry about them ever again. That's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is that there's no limit. There's no limit to forgiveness. What Jesus is saying is that in God's family, grace never runs out. In the family of God, in kingdom culture, the grace of God never runs out. Now, I want to pause here, and I don't want you to miss this, and we're going to talk more about this here in a second. This is not God telling us to allow people to walk all over you and abuse you, okay? Well, I'm going to jump back to this. This is for those, what God is talking about here, what Jesus is talking about, this is for those who sin against you and they are repentant of that sin. Okay? More on that in a minute. So Jesus gives this lesson to Peter about forgiveness, but then he tells the story, right? Then he gives the parable. And there's so much to learn out of this parable. It says, for this reason, verse 23, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who wanted to settle the accounts of his servant. When he began to settle his account, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought before him. Now, I want you to understand how much is owed here. This amount of money is so enormous that it's so the talent is the highest level of currency in the Bible. When you see the talent, this is an extraordinary sum of money. One talent was equal to 20 years of wages. One talent, 20 years of income. The king during this time, King Herod, right? He has this kingdom and he brings in taxes and he brings in all kinds of stuff. The entire income for King Herod's kingdom was 900 talents in a year. Okay? That's the king. And so one talent, 20 years, the whole king only gets 900 worth of talents. And here's this story saying that this servant owes 10,000 talents. A lot of commentators and historians, they go back and try to figure out this would equal somewhere in the neighborhood today, $360 million in our money today. Okay? So understand how big of a debt was owed. Understand, I mean, this was no amount of money this servant was ever going to be payable, right? He was never going to get 10,000 talents. So right away we see Jesus in this story, he is comparing us to these servants, to these debtors who could never repay this enormous amount of debt. We can never repay the amount of debt that we owe God. Think about it like this. Every time that I sin, I become a debtor. Every time that I sin. And so my debts, because my sins, I'm essentially, virtually, I have infinite debt because I'm always going to be a sinner, right? I'm always going to be one who sins. I'm always going to be one who falls short of the glory of God. And it's foolish to think that I can earn my way back into good graces with God. It's foolish to think that I can pay back this unsurmountable amount of debt that I owe. No amount of good works, no amount of money, no amount of church attendance is ever going to help me earn my way back into good graces with God. So here's this servant. He had nothing to barter. He had no currency. He had no collateral. He had nothing in his life. The only thing that this man could do was beg. And look what happened. Since he did not have the money to pay it back, his master commanded that he, his wife, and his children, and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Now think about it. 10,000 talents, $360 million. You could sell everything you have, and it wouldn't even come close. But look what happens. At this, the servant fell face down before him and said, now if you're a highlighter, underline this sentence. Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. Be patient with me, and I will pay you everything. His only hope was in the fact that the king would give him more time, that the king would have patience. But remember how big of a debt this is. The king could have infinite patience, and he's still not going to have enough to pay this debt back. It was still a debt that he could not pay. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, he said it like this: many a poor sinner is very rich in resolutions. This servant debtor thought he only needed patience, but indeed he needed forgiveness. The only hope for this debtor was going to be found in the compassion of the king, right? It wasn't in his patience. He was begging him for patience, but the king could have infinite patience and he would never repay. And so he had to have compassion. And look what the king did. After he sat and he begged, the master said this, verse 27. The master of that servant, he had compassion. He released him and forgave him his loan. His compassion for the debtor released him of all the debts. Not just a small portion, but everything. And here's the takeaway today, church. The king's compassion outweighed the servant's commitment. The king's compassion way outweighed the servant's commitment. The servant was committed. If you'll just be patient with me, then I promise you I'll pay you back. He could never pay that back. And so the king's compassion had to come in. It wasn't about the promises that the servant made. It was about the compassion of the king. Can you imagine being under that much debt, the stress, the weight, the heaviness of that? Imagine what the servant felt like when he walked out of the king's presence and he knows, I'm free. My family is free. There's no more burden. This king is so great. He's so compassionate. Imagine just the weight that was lifted off of his shoulders. But then something happens. Look at this. He gets released. He gets free. In verse 28, the servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, if we could just compare for a second, 10,000 talents to 100 denarii. 100 denarii was basically maybe a couple weeks worth of wages. Compared to this massive amount that he just was forgiven, this is a very, very small amount that he was owed. The Bible says he grabbed him and started choking him. He said, pay me what you owe me. At this, his fellow servant fell down begging him. And now look what he says. Look at these words. I had you underline them in the last verse. Look what he says. Be patient with me. I'll pay you back. I think it's something very, very, you know, exciting here to me that Jesus uses the same exact words that this debtor used to his king when have patience with me and I will pay it all back is the same words that the guy who owed him money uses the same phrase. Be patient with me and I'll pay you back. I think what Jesus is trying to remind him here of the debt that he was forgiven, the freedom, the compassion that he now had in his life. But he wouldn't do it. He threw the man into prison. He had no compassion on that man. And then this radical act of ingratitude wasn't unnoticed by his friends. People saw him. People said, wait a minute, this isn't right. You should not be doing this. You just got forgiven. How in the world can you not forgive this guy? And by the way, sometimes we're blinded by our own sinful conduct and we need people to tell us the truth. Sometimes we're blinded by our beliefs and our feelings and our situation. We're so blinded and we need people to tell us the truth. But what do we do when people tell us the truth? We get mad. We say, "Why can't, you can't judge me. This guy needed somebody to step up in his life and tell him the truth, but he didn't have anybody. This man is so ungrateful." So the people who watched, they went to the king, and then look what happens, verse 32. After he had summoned him, his master said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" Because he was angry, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay everything that was owed. You know how long he's going to be in jail? Forever. You know how long he's going to be tortured? Forever. Because there's no repaying that debt. So let's retrace this guy's steps. First, he was threatened with justice, right? The king said, "If you don't pay me back, I'm going to sell you, your family, everything. He was threatened with justice, but he received mercy. He received mercy. But then once he received mercy and grace, he disparaged the grace of the king when he did not show that same grace to others, right? And so he did not show compassion. And so in disparaging the grace of the king, what did he get? He got justice. This should keep you and I in a constant understanding of God's grace in our lives every day. Because the minute we stop being a conduit of God's grace is the minute that we should stop expecting anything from God but his justice. So Jesus puts a little bow on this parable and he says, verse 35, "So also my heavenly Father will do to you unless every one of you forgives his brother or sister from your heart." Now this principle here is very clear. God has forgiven a debt that we could not pay. Any repayment that we think we can have is nothing in comparison to the compassion that we need. And we need to understand that no human being in this world can offend us to the extent that my sins have offended God. Let me say that again. We need to understand that nobody in this world can possibly offend us to the extent that our sins offended God. Now, I said I wanted to come back to this because this is very, very, very important. What Jesus is talking about here in this story, this is not a call from God for unilateral forgiveness. Now, this might be different from some of the things that you've thought or you've learned. In other words, Jesus is if somebody sins against me, then you are required to forgive them no matter what. That's not what Jesus is saying. Now, if you think back to the story of Jesus dying on the cross, some of his final words were what? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," right? Jesus showed us an example, and he prayed for forgiveness for those who executed him, but this is not the requirement found anywhere throughout the Bible. Those people didn't say, "I'm sorry, Jesus, for crucifying you." No, no. He forgave them out of the compassion of his heart. It is an option for us. We can be gracious if we choose, but we are not obligated to forgive every single person who hurts us, abuses us, does us wrong, that does not come back to us and ask for forgiveness. Here's the obligation. If someone wrongs you and you confront them and they repent, that's when we must forgive 70 times 7. Any insult, any offense, that is repented over. Let me say that again. Any offense that is repented over should be forgiven. When we offend others, we are called to repent and apologize and ask for forgiveness. When someone comes to us and repents and apologizes, we must forgive not seven times, but 70 times seven. We must stand ready to give the same compassion that was manifested by this king. People of God, if you are a follower of Christ, there's an old saying that I don't know who came up with it, but it's forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. If I've been forgiven, if I know that my sins have been washed away, have been paid for by the blood of Jesus, then I need to be a forgiving person. The Christian has to be a person of a forgiving spirit. Holding grudges, allowing bitterness to grow up in your life is one of the most destructive things that we can do because we don't always see it. We don't always feel it. We know it's just hiding in there. The application for this story, the application for this parable is the same thing that comes to us in the Lord's Prayer. When he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's kind of a scary prayer. R.C. Sproul is a preacher, theologian, and I love reading a lot of the books that he's written. Says this, if we are not willing to forgive those who have sinned against us, we should never expect God to forgive us. When I first read that, I was like, man, that's harsh. It's pretty heavy. But when we read this story, and this is the exact story that Jesus is telling, like the servant got this forgiveness of this, he could never pay that debt back. Wasn't willing to forgive. Forgiveness is at the very heart. It is at the very heart of a Christian faith. And we, of all people, should be known as a forgiving people. If there's anybody that should be known as forgiving people, it should be the people that Jesus died for and have given our lives to. And so today, I've asked our team to give us a little bit of extra time for response. And I want to throw up a couple questions here on the screen. And here for the next few minutes, I want you to just look at these questions. Ask yourself these questions. Maybe some of them apply to you. Maybe some of them don't. But are you keeping a scorecard like Peter? The rabbi said three times. Three times is enough. Peter said seven times. After seven times. Peter's keeping a scorecard. And Jesus gives this unlimited. He's not saying 491 times. He's saying there's no limit to our forgiveness. Are you keeping a scorecard? Is there someone in your life that you need to go ask for their forgiveness? You need to get on the phone today. You need to repent. And you need to say, I'm sorry. You need to apologize. And you need to ask for their forgiveness. Is there somebody like that in your life? Who in your life do you need to give forgiveness to? Maybe today God's speaking to your heart. You realize that God's forgiven you this unsurmountable amount of debt. And you're got that forgiveness, but you're neglecting to give that away to somebody else. Just like the servant today, the message for you is you've been forgiven much. It's time for you to offer that forgiveness. Maybe today God's setting you a little bit free because there's some relationships in your life and they've hurt you. They've it's just been a tough, tough thing, and you've been battling this forgiveness thing, and maybe today God's saying, hey, you know what? It's time. Or maybe today God's giving you a little bit of freedom to say, you know what? You got to let that go. You can't allow that to continue to eat you up. And if that person hasn't repented, don't let them keep walking all over you. Don't let them abuse you. Now, it's an option. But maybe today that freedom needs to come into your heart and your soul. But whatever it is, I want to just do this. I'm going to ask everybody in the room, let's just bow our heads and close our eyes. And I want to give you just a minute of response time. One of these questions is filling your heart and mind. But right now, all over this room, can we just pause and personally do business with God? Maybe today, just being real, being authentic, maybe today it's hard for you to even understand the forgiveness that God gives. How can God forgive me? After all I've done, how can he give me that forgiveness? How can he have compassion? The only thing the servant had was to beg the king. And maybe that's what you need to do. Even as we sing, would you just stay in this moment of response and just respond to whatever God's doing in your heart right there in your seat. If you want to, you need somebody to pray with you, you can come forward and grab one of us. If you want to stand and sing and lift your hands to the Lord in response to this today, whatever it is, would you just be obedient? Let's just take these next few minutes and just respond to whatever God's speaking to our heart today. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.